do it based on what I mean, but how we are constantly doing the same things in our mind, actually. How we are constantly plugging into formulas. What is fair? What we are due? Who owes what to whom? And who is deserving and undeserving? And we put this all in, just like this financial aid stuff, and then we spit out how we should treat people, where we should spend our money or our time, what we should do. We're always making these judgments in our lives. But today, God challenges us. God challenges us to something different. God says, instead of spending so much time deciding who is worthy or unworthy, who deserves things or doesn't deserve things, what we are called to is open our hands in compassion and love and giving to all. That is a challenge. But it's what God calls people in this Deuteronomy text for today. It's especially challenging, I think, especially for 21st century capitalists in the United States. Because what God is calling to, if you didn't follow this reading, God is calling the people of Israel every 7 years to forgive people's debts. Could you imagine that happening ever in this country? It wouldn't happen, right? But he says that. He says, every 7 years, if a neighbor has a debt against you, you forgive it. We talked about Sabbath for ourselves last week, and this in some way is a Sabbath because it helps you get up from whatever was holding you back, from your past, from who you were, from what you owe, and people could theoretically start on an equal footing again. Every 7 years they were given this chance, and then God goes on to say, and you know what? Do it with a glad heart. And the other thing is, God says, there's always going to be people in need around you. So give to the people in need, and you will be blessed. And notice what God doesn't say. God doesn't say, if you think they deserve it, or if they've been working hard enough, right? God just says, give to the people who are in need. End of story. This is our God, but we are so busy, aren't we, deciding what's fair and right. We look at this text from the prodigal son, and here comes this brother back who's squandered all of his father's savings, and yet the brother who's been there the whole time, the responsible one, doesn't even get a party, right? And he's jealous, and I think we get it in many ways because it's not fair, and we love thinking about what's fair. Craig and I, a few weeks back, saw, maybe a couple months now, I lose track of time, saw a movie called Red Joan. And it was so interesting. It was about a woman in Great Britain who, during World War II, sold nuclear secrets to the Russians. And it was found out in her 80s. When she was in her 80s, they finally found out that she had done this. And so she was tried, but in the end, they didn't put her in prison for her crimes. And we walked out of that movie, and we both said, oh, that would never happen in the United States. She would have been locked up for sure, right? But we started talking about it, and as I watched the story and saw why she had done what she did, and you could see the background, I went away thinking, you know what? What good would it have done to lock this woman up? But as I talked with people about the movie, there were very, very firm opinions, and you might hold that too, that she should have served jail time for what she did. And then someone asked me, so the reason she did this, I don't think it's too big of a spoiler, one of the reasons she did this is because she said she watched the bombing in Japan, and she said she felt like the only way that this bomb could be controlled was if more than one person had it. So she wanted the Russians to also get the bomb so that there would be an equilibrium. So that's why she did it. Anyway, and I could kind of understand it. And somebody said to me, yeah, but what if the Russians had killed people with it? Then do you think she should have spent time in prison? Right? So then I'm thinking, and I'm starting to calculate in my head, okay, wait, where's the line for me? What's fair? What's right? What's just? And maybe my line shifted a little bit. And we are constantly doing this. Now, I'm not saying we can't have laws. We need laws. We live in a society where there needs to be order, right? And so we need laws. We called to reach out with the gifts that we have, to give and to relate, erase lines of fairness for what people owe or deserve. I started thinking about ways in which I've seen people doing this and how inspirational it is. And one way I saw, because these gifts can be many things. I think our text today, it says, give to the person in need. The debts were financial, but we all have gifts, right? We all have different gifts. For some of us, it's financial. For others, it's other things. And how do we give those gifts? And I was thinking about Luca Weishaupt, who's a member of our congregation. And if you've been here the last few weeks, you've known he went off to Minnesota to work in the Mayo Clinic. And he didn't know where he was going to live, and so I just emailed some of the churches in Rochester, Minnesota, where he was going, and a family, three actually, and even one, just opened up their house to him. Opened up their house. They don't know him. They don't know me. They don't know anything. But what they said when they were speaking with him was, well, we have this extra space in the basement. Our kids, you know, we have a big house. Our kids are all grown and gone. We have this space, so why wouldn't we use it? This is their gift. We have the space. Why wouldn't we use it? I have another friend in the city. We used to go there for dinner quite a bit, and every time we went, I swear there was somebody else living in their house. Because they said similar. They said, we live in the city. It's hard to live in New York City. We have a room. Why wouldn't we let somebody use it? They were using the gifts that they had been given. They were reaching out to people who were in need. Now, I do have to say that there was a little bit of vetting done on people who are going to live in your house. But God tells us to reach out and give to people regardless, which is why I was thinking of our food pantry downtown, and I love this place. And one of the reasons I love it is that when people show up, no one says to them, could you please show me a financial statement so I could see that you really need the food that you're about to receive? They don't do that. Somebody comes, says I'm hungry, and they give them food. This is who we are called to be as people of God. So why don't we do it? I started wondering, why don't we do it? And I think as everything else, as I'm growing, I'm learning, it's because we're afraid. Everything is because we're afraid, really, isn't it? Right? We're afraid. Sometimes we're afraid, and it's legitimate. Maybe we're afraid for personal safety. I get it. You know, people are opening their homes. You don't want a perfect stranger probably living in your house because you don't know. So sometimes we're afraid for personal safety. Other times, though, we are afraid that we are going to run out, that we are not going to have enough, that somehow we're not going to get our share. And you know, God shared this story with the Israelites at a very specific time in their history. These Israelites had first been slaves in Egypt and had nothing. They owned nothing. They were owned. And then they had wandered through the desert, and they had been fed by manna that God gave them. And at this point, when God is telling them this, they are finally landed. They have land, they have homes, they can accumulate. And God gives them this proactive command because God knows the danger of being able to store up treasures on earth, right? God knows we're always sinners, but the minute that we can start to accumulate, the minute we can own something, we start to see it as our own. And we start to see it not so much as a gift, but something that we deserve. And God, the whole time, is saying, no, this is all gift. Everything you have is a gift. So we are always called to give it back. But we are afraid. will be taken advantage of. You just will. At some point along the line, someone will take advantage of you. But that's not on you. Your job is still to give. It's still to be generous. That's on them. The generosity will come back to you. Craig and I had this experience once. We were in Georgia. Excellent, excellent guy on the side of the road. Or he was in a parking lot, actually. He wanted money. Can't remember all the details, but he wanted a very specific amount of money to meet a bus that he couldn't get to. I don't know. So we gave him money, and then we gave him a ride in our car, which now I think a little foolhardy maybe, but whatever. We didn't have kids at the time, so we took him in our car. And after we got out of the car, we're like, wow, we just got totally snowed, right? This guy was really good. But I wouldn't change it when I look back. I wouldn't change it because we opened our heart, and it felt good to open our heart, and we didn't miss the $23 or whatever it was that we gave him anyway. It is not on us to judge. It is not on us to decide people's worth or deservedness. It is on us to open our hearts and passion and love. And we can do that because all that we have and all that we are is a gift from God. And we can do that because God does it for us. God does not give us what we are owed or we deserve. We deserve continues to come back to us and say, you know what? What is done is done. We are moving ahead. Whatever you did yesterday, come back. The lost is found. It's okay. And I am going to continue gifting you with life, and I am going to continue gifting you with forgiveness. This is the God we have. The God who always welcomes us. The God who always forgives debt. And God continues to gift us in ways beyond our imagination. So because of that God, we can take our gifts and go out into the world, not making complicated things in our head about who is worth anything, but instead giving